Please take your Bible this morning and open to the book of Matthew, chapter 23, verse number 1. Matthew, chapter 23, and verse number 1. The verses I'm going to read this morning for our text are verses 1 through 12. So Matthew, chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. And all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. We'll stop right there. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time that we can sit together, sing songs together, give our tithes and offerings, of course have fellowship with one another, but now to listen to the Word of God being taught and the principles that we will receive today of what the Bible says concerning the subject matter of pride. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to have open ears and receptive hearts and help us to hear what you have to say on this topic. And help us all to do our best to guard against it, because it is an evil that is present in this world that afflicts all people, even we Christians. Bless us now, please, as we continue. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. The topic that I want to talk to you about this morning, my title is just simply The Pride Problem. I got started thinking about all that's going on in the world today, and usually I start early in the week and ask the Lord, you know, what should I speak on this coming Sunday? And I got thinking about all that's going on in the world today, and then thinking about the month of June and how that they have dedicated, they being a certain crowd of people, have dedicated the month of June as Pride Month. And our governor has decided the last couple of years, including this one, to fly their flag on top of our Capitol. I'm not going to talk about that element of pride, but I did want to say this. That's how my thoughts got going this way about this outline, this message that I'm going to bring to you this morning. And I thought about how interesting it is that some in America are celebrating a sinful lifestyle and calling it pride. The middle letter in the word pride, of course, is the letter I. And it is all about self, isn't it? It's all about me, look at me, and all that. I don't know how the rest of you feel about this. I believe myself that God's word says that that lifestyle is wrong, that it's sinful, that it's wickedness. At the same time, if somebody wants to follow that lifestyle, that's their business. I can't legislate them into a lifestyle that honors the Lord. Nobody can. I don't think it's right, however, that they try to force us to accept their lifestyle. I don't agree with that part of it at all. But anyway, that's not what today's message is about. Thinking about what's going on in our world and this month and all that kind of thing got me starting to think about this word pride. And it is a problem, as I mentioned in my prayer, that's prevalent in this world among pretty much all of us. Even though we're saved, pride is an issue that we all have to deal with. We've talked about it a lot in Sunday school in 1 Samuel with King Saul, haven't we? How he is filled with pride and it's all about me and it's all about my recognition and all that kind of thing. And this chapter that I chose to start with, Matthew 23, Jesus is scolding the Pharisees who, by the way, also had a problem with pride. They were religious, but they had a pride problem. The Pharisees were a group of religious men that had a lot of spiritual problems, but perhaps most of all, their worst problem of all, and all the problems, found their root in the sin of pride. All right? Pride is generally thought of, by the way, in case you need a definition, pride is generally thought of as an overly high estimation of oneself. An overly high estimation of oneself. In other words, this problem causes a person to think that they are most always right, that they pretty much know the truth about most things, that they are better than others, that they're not in the wrong, others are in the wrong. In fact, I myself really don't have a major problem with personal sin and things that overcome me and my life and so forth. Pride is at the root of all of that, see? And pride is a sin. We know that from God's Word, and there are many, many verses in Scripture that teach us not to be a proud person, but rather to be a humble person. Many verses about that. So as you think about our society today and you think about the world today, I'm sure you'd agree with me that pride is a big, big problem. And sometimes even in the Christian realm, if we're not careful, it finds its way in, and it's something that will take over if we allow it. So the message today is all about the pride problem, and I hope that you will listen, and I hope you will glean something from the sermon today that might help you in your Christian life. The first thing I want to talk about is what I'm just calling, number one, the problem of pride. The problem of pride. And why is pride a problem? Because pride is a problem because it promotes self. It promotes self. You remember, pride exalts self. It causes you to think better of yourself than you should. Now, please understand, right here at the outset, I'm not saying that we should walk around all the time just putting ourselves down and, you know, woe is me, I'm no good, I'm nothing, and, you know, the devil uses that also. That's not what I'm trying to say or promote at all. But I am trying to say that we need to be careful about thinking better of ourselves than we really should. Because if we're honest, I think all of us would admit that we are sinful people who, even though we're saved, we have disappointed the Lord many, many times, and no doubt will again this week. We have all kinds of problems and issues, and we haven't arrived yet. There's lots and lots of work to be done. I know that God's still working on me. I have an idea he's still working on you as well. To think better of yourself than you should is not what God wants. He wants you to be humble and realize that you are just dust, and you are one who is a sinner by birth and by choice, and you need the Lord's help to live a life that would honor him and please him. Here's a couple of verses, or portions thereof, if you just listen. Romans 12:3, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Well, that's a good reminder. "To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." 1 Corinthians 10:12 is another one. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall." One more, Galatians 6, verse 3. "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." Now, there's many verses like this in the Bible that remind us, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Pride is a problem because pride is all about promoting self. And have you ever heard this? If I don't look out for me, if I don't try to promote me, if I don't try to lift myself up, nobody else will. That's the philosophy of the world. The Christian realizes that my life is in God's hands. And if I'm going to be promoted, it's not going to be by me, it's going to be by God. He's the one that's going to hold me up and lift me up and promote me, if that be his will. So again, pride is a problem because it will promote self. Pride is also a problem because it ignores personal sin. Pride is a problem because it ignores personal sin. The Bible shows us that all of us are sinners by birth and also by choice. When you deny that, you're calling God a liar. Pastor, how do you know that? I just happen to have a Bible verse for you. 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1:10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him, referring to God, a liar and his word is not in us. See, we are sinners, both by birth and even by choice. To deny that, of course, is to call God a liar and say that what he said in his word is not true. When God says that we are all sinners, I believe he is right. I believe we have to admit that and confess that to him. And by the way, when you confess and forsake your sins, you're on the way to forgiveness and recovery. 1 John 1:9, the verse right in the middle of those two I just gave you, says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So again, pride is a problem not only because it exalts self, but pride is a problem because it ignores personal sin. It wants to hide it. It wants to put it in the background. It wants to ignore it. It doesn't want to admit to it. Pride is also a problem, by the way, because it refuses to submit. It refuses to submit to God and his word and what God's word says. Pride will do its best to avoid situations where it is reminded of what God and his word say about the subject of pride and sin. Why is it when people come into a Bible preaching, Bible teaching church and they get convicted, they decide, I'm not going back there again? It's pride. I don't want anybody to point out my sin. I don't want anybody to step on my toes about that. But friend, we all need to realize that one day every one of us will have to stand before God, and God's going to point out our sin. Romans 14, 11 and 12, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Okay, so you stay away from churches that preach the Bible, thus saith the Lord. And you don't want to have that conviction. You don't want to have that feeling of guilt in your heart. And you avoid people that want to talk about Bible-type things and Bible principles and so forth. You do everything you can to try to avoid that. But that's just a momentary escape, because one day it's all going to be revealed. And you won't be able to avoid that day. Again, pride is a problem because it will promote self, it will ignore personal sin, it will refuse to submit, and pride is a problem because it alienates others. It alienates others. Others are alienated because pride causes us to believe that we are right and the other person is wrong. You know, there's not a person in this room this morning, including me, there's not a person in this room this morning who's always right. Not one of us. Not one of us. There are times in our lives when we are not on the right side and the other person is. But see, pride doesn't want to admit that. Pride does not allow you to believe that you might be wrong. Next week, of course, is Father's Day on Sunday. And just in advance, I don't have my message written yet for next Sunday, but just in advance, I wanted to say this to all the fathers who are here. And by the way, this works for moms too, mothers. But every once in a while, as a parent, if you're wise, you're going to have to admit to your children that you were in the wrong. Don't let pride get in the way of that. Don't let pride get in the way of that. If you're wrong, admit it. And tell your kids. And tell them you're sorry. And try to make it right. Some I've known through the years, pastors who have had the same problem. Not willing to admit that they were wrong in some decision they made or something they said or something they did. Again, that's pride. That was Satan's problem, wasn't it? Pride. Oh, he could never admit to God Almighty that he was wrong. And what happens when pride takes over and pride becomes so important in that person's life? It alienates others. It alienates others. Because it doesn't allow you to believe or be perceived anyway that you might be wrong and have to apologize and seek forgiveness. The lack of humility and the lack of apologizing and the lack of seeking forgiveness, all that does is alienate you from others. Got to be careful about that. So again, pride is a problem. It's a problem because it promotes self. It's a problem because it ignores personal sin. It's a problem because it refuses to submit. It's a problem because it alienates others. And pride is a problem because it becomes more and more selfish. It's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy in the sense that the longer it's allowed to go on, the more selfishness builds and the more the problem builds. After a while, the only thing that matters is that you're right. Everyone else is wrong. Others are alienated. One day you find yourself all alone, but that's okay because I'm right. I don't know what you think, but that's a pretty lonely existence. By the way, I know some folks like that. Nobody here. But they've alienated their children. They've alienated their parents. They've alienated their siblings. They've alienated their church friends. And now they're up in years and they're pretty much all alone. What a horrible way to have to live. What a sad and lonely state of affairs it became, all because of pride. Again, pride is a problem because it promotes self, it ignores personal sin, it refuses to submit, it alienates others, and it becomes more and more selfish. The second main thing I want to talk to you about this morning is not the problem of pride, but the price of pride. The price of pride. And I want to say here that pride forfeits God's purpose and plan for your life. Pride forfeits God's purpose and plan for your life. See, God's purpose and plan for each one of us as believers is to live a life of humility, selflessness, living a life that serves others, promotes and glorifies the Savior. That's God's plan for us, all right? Now, pride is just the opposite, because pride is all about me. Look at me, look at me, see me, you know, lift me up, tell me how great I am. It's just the opposite of what God's purpose and plan for us is. Pride always wants to put us first. Again, we were talking about this with Saul, how that David serving under him, winning many victories on the battlefield, those victories were David's, yes, but they were also Saul's victories. David's success on the battlefield was also Saul's success because Saul was the leader. But Saul didn't see it that way. All he saw was that David was getting all this praise, and I want that for myself. That's pride. It's all about me. It's all about what lifts me up. It's all about what praises me. It's all about what people telling me how great I am. Do you remember this passage in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 1? At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Why do you think they asked that question? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Friend, I can tell you this. They weren't talking about all of humanity. They were talking about among us 12. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You know what that is? That's pride. That's pride. The disciples, much like many individuals, wanted to know who's the greatest in God's kingdom. And you know what? That's not God's way at all. God's way and God's plans and God's thinking and God's way of exalting and promoting someone is so different than ours. It's so different than ours. And so when we allow pride to be there and take control in our life, we're going to forfeit God's purpose and plan. I have this idea, and I think it's true. I think heaven and judgment day is going to surprise us, don't you? I think when we get to heaven and judgment day takes place, I'm talking about for us as believers, I believe there are going to be people that are going to get tremendous reward and praise from our God that on earth were thought to be almost no one or nothing. Because you know how it is. In today's world, if you're not being promoted on websites or magazines or newspapers, or if you're not being lifted up, if you're not being talked about, if you're not being praised, and man, I just hope you'll take this in the right way, and I trust that you will. Well, let me approach it this way. How many of you know the name David Jeremiah? Okay? I think almost all of us do. All right? Do you enjoy his preaching? I do. I enjoy his preaching. He's got a large church, of course, and doing, in my opinion, doing a great work, reaching many people for the Savior and so on. And I think, again, just me, I think when he gets to heaven, there'll be great reward. But do you think it's possible that there is a man or several men that are serving in some unknown place with a much smaller flock of people, doing everything they can to serve the Lord? Do you think it's possible that there might be some like that who God will give great reward, maybe equal to or perhaps even greater than a David Jeremiah, that will just shock the daylights out of us? Do you think that's possible? See, I believe that's possible. Again, nothing against Jeremiah. I love the man. I think he's doing a wonderful work. I enjoy listening to him. I have nothing that I can stand up here and criticize him about. I'm just saying that the way that sometimes we as human beings look at Christianity and the Christian work and the Christian life and all stuff, we would in our mind, we would put someone like Jeremiah on a very high pedestal, and somebody in a you know, little bitty burg somewhere, pastor in a small church, we'd put them down, you know, lower. Oh, friend, God's ways are not our ways. And God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And I just have a sneaking suspicion that there might be someone, or maybe several someones, that God's going to surprise us on that day. And this little person over here is going to be lifted up, maybe equal to or greater than a David Jeremiah type of person. Because God knows that they fulfilled all that he asked them to do in their area of ministry. God doesn't see things the way we do. Yes, amen. I'm glad for that too. Because, I mean, I'll just say it from my perspective. I can't compete with David Jeremiah. Every once in a while, Sarah will catch me watching something, you know, some little piece of his program or whatever. And I look at her and I say, how does Stoughton Baptist Church compete with that? I can't. I'm not even going to try because I know I can't. I tell you what I can do, though. I can do all that God wants me to do. And the rewards are up to him. The rewards are up to him. Again, pride forfeits God's purpose and plan because we think we have to be first, we have to be exalted, we have to be promoted. It's all about me. Please notice me. See what I'm doing. Pat me on the back. Tell me I'm doing a good job. All those kind of things. But remember, God's ways and God's plans are not ours. So live for him and serve him and try to please him in all humility and leave the rest up to him. That's really what God wants from us in his purpose and plan for our life. Another thing I want to say about the price of pride, not only does it forfeit God's purpose and plan for our lives, but pride also forfeits God's blessings in our life. When we get wrapped up in pride, when we get thinking it's all about me and I need to be, you know, patted on the back and told I'm doing a good job and exalted and promoted and all that kind of stuff, when that's my thinking, when that's how I live my life and I carry myself, I'm going to forfeit God's blessings in my life. Listen to what Scripture says. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, and then a part of verse 2 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Listen, "for men shall be lovers of their own selves." That's pride, isn't it? Proverbs 6, verse 16, and then a portion of verse 17, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look." God actually hates pride. The Bible is quite clear that pride is a sin before God, and that God hates pride. And if pride is a sin, and if God hates that sin, it just makes sense that God cannot and will not bless the person whose life is characterized by pride. Have you ever heard this statement? God doesn't reward bad behavior. If pride is our bad behavior, God's not going to reward that with his blessings. He wants us to walk humbly before him. It's obvious that pride has to go. Somehow we've got to get rid of that, and I'll talk about that later on. But the price of pride, it forfeits God's purpose and plan. It forfeits God's blessings in your life. Pride also, by the way, invites God's punishment. Here's what Scripture says. Proverbs 16, verse 18. "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Psalm 101, verse 5, the latter half of the verse says this, "Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer." Proverbs 15, 25, just a portion of the verse, "The Lord will destroy the house of the proud." Can you see what I'm saying here? Pride invites God's punishment. Pride will not go unpunished. I mentioned it earlier, but this was the central problem with the devil. He was filled with pride. "I will be like the Most High." And God said, "No, you won't." And he booted him out of heaven. Pride will not go unpunished. James 4, 6, the Bible says that God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Put that together with the verses that we've read through this message today, and you can see that God's going to punish the proud, and you and I need to avoid pride as much as we possibly can. So the price of pride, it forfeits God's purpose and plan, it forfeits God's blessings in your life, it actually invites God's punishment. We've talked this morning already about the problem of pride and the price of pride. Now, I come thirdly in my last main point this morning. I come to the plan for pride. Pastor, you've convinced me. It's a bad thing. How do I deal with it? How do I make a plan to overcome it? How do I handle that? Well, several things I want to give you today. First of all, you and I must hate that sin. We must hate that sin of pride. It's almost impossible to get rid of pride in your life until you see it as a sin against God and ask the Lord to help you hate that sin. If we don't see it as God sees it, we'll most likely never hate it, and our efforts to overcome it will probably not come to success. We must see it like God sees it. We must ask Him to help us to hate it, to give it up, to guard against it, so that it doesn't creep its way into our life. I hope you believe me, it is a problem today, even in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be careful about pride. The plan, again, first, we must hate that sin. Second, Another step to remember is we must humble self. We must humble self. Now, I want you to know self won't enjoy that. Let's be honest. Self wants to be promoted. Self wants to be patted on the back. Self wants to be told it's doing a wonderful job. Self wants to be told, I can't live without you. Huh? Self loves that. Loves all the attention. And by the way, when it doesn't get the attention, it throws a fit. But you and I must learn to humble self. Self will not enjoy being humbled, but in order for us to have God's blessing on our life, self needs to be humbled. It's a problem. James 4, verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. James 4, 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Self needs to be humbled before God. And can I just remind all of us here this morning that God sees us right at our very core. And he knows if pride is there or not. One of the things that the Pharisees were good at, and I started reading from Matthew 23, that whole chapter, by the way, if your Bible's like mine, a red letter edition, almost the whole chapter is in red letters. Jesus is doing the talking, and he's really scolding the Pharisees because of their pride. But one of the big problems the Pharisees had, of course, was their pride, and they appeared, this is important, they appeared unto men to be righteous. But see, Jesus saw right through that, which is why he scolded them the way he did. And really what he did is he exposed them for the phonies that they were. You think that ever happens in churches today where people appear to be righteous, but again, God knowing the inside, he knows that what people see on the outside is not the true measure of that person, because inside is full of self and pride and look at me kind of an attitude. So self needs to be humbled before God because, again, he knows us to our very core. And secondly, self needs to be humbled before others. Many scriptures in the Bible tell us things like this. Philippians 2:4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. In other words, you're trying to help promote someone else. You're looking out for their welfare, not your own. I think the scripture is quite clear is that when we serve others, we are also serving God. And God will bless that. Self needs to be humbled before God and before others. Humbling ourselves before others means we put the needs and the well-being of others before ourselves. Have you noticed this? Here in the month of September, when it gets here, Sarah and I are going to go away for a little while to celebrate our anniversary together. And like Tom and Debbie went out west, we're going to go east. Okay, but that doesn't really matter. Just to take some time away and just enjoy each other's company and celebrate, you know, all the years that God's had us together and so forth. And my daughter, Rebecca, said to me recently, because you remember, they took a trip south. And she said she really noticed when she came back into Dane County, how rude so many of the people are. Because she said, when we were down south, it wasn't that way. Now, not that nobody in the south is rude, but she said, I really noticed it when we came back up north and we got into Dane County. The folks around here are all about self. They're all about, and they're rude. And Sarah and I have noticed that recently. I mean, people drive like the Bible says this about Jehu. Do you remember reading this ever in the Bible about Jehu? J-E-H-U. He driveth furiously. I see that in this area all the time. People are out for self. They don't care if they cut you off. I mean, if you're doing the speed limit in most, you know, streets, they're right on your bumper and they're angry and they want to get around you and so forth. You can get run over on the Beltline. I mean, just People are rude. People are rude as far as even holding a door for someone. Now, every now and then you come across somebody who's sweet and got a kind spirit and all that, hold a door for you. But boy, a lot of people don't think anything about letting a door slam right in the face of a woman. It just, to me, that's odd. If you know a woman's right behind you, you ought to hold the door for her. But anyway, there's so many things like that that I see, and it all stems back to pride again. It's all about self. It's all about me first. It's all about I want to have my way. It's all about you should look out for me. We saw something just this week, I think it was, and it was all about you have to look out for me. Were you like me? When I grew up, my parents taught me if I'm going to cross a street, I look both ways to make sure there's no vehicles coming, and if there's no vehicles coming, I step out. And I walk across the sidewalk. The crosswalk. Nowadays, of course, a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people, they'll step out if there's traffic coming or not. You got to stop for them. And if you don't, you're in trouble. Again, it's part of our society, and it's me first, and it's pride, and I want to have my way. And you see, walking with the Lord and walking in humility, you put others first. You put others first. We're talking about here the plan for pride. Number one, we must hate that sin. Number two, we must humble ourselves. And number three, we must honor the Savior. We must honor the Savior. After seeing pride as a sin and realizing how much God hates it and how we should hate it, confessing it, forsaking it, we must humble ourselves before God and before men. All that is honoring to our Savior. Micah 6:8, I quote this verse a lot, I know, but it's one of my favorites. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That's a great Bible verse. I encourage you to memorize it, and then to live it. Our Savior is not well represented by men and women who are living in pride and selfishness and self-will. But on the other hand, God is very well represented and very well pleased with men and women who are living their lives in godliness and humility. We need to remember to live in a manner which honors and pleases Him. Him. So, as you have heard this morning, pride is a common problem, even among the church people. Men and women today, boys and girls, it affects all of us, even us as believers, and we need to be honest about that. We need to be honest about that, and we need to be on the lookout for it. We need to, when we find it in our life, we need to honestly deal with it, because if we do, God will bless us, and God will lift us up, and God will promote us in His good timing. If we don't, we may have to pay a very stiff price in our life. Every now and then, Sarah and I will be talking about some things that are going on and wondering why God doesn't seem to do anything about that, you know, right away as we pray about it and ask for His help on it. By the way, that unspoken request I had weeks and weeks ago, it's still not answered. And it gets discouraging to keep on asking and don't see much happen. But God reminds me, and I remind Sarah, and she reminds me too, that God's timing is not ours. And one day, everything will be set right. My encouragement to all of us this morning is, let's not live in pride. Let's live in humility. And walk before God with a humble and contrite spirit. And when the time comes, if He chooses to lift us up, let Him do that. But do your best to serve others and serve God, because God is pleased with that. Let's stand together, shall we? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one is looking. We don't want to embarrass anyone. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The problem of pride. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads in prayer, we want to thank You for Your goodness and grace to us. I think sometimes we say it maybe a little bit glibly, but we make a statement like, God's been better to me than what I deserve. And that is very true. But may it never be just glib. May it be said in truth and honesty and humility, because truly you are a lot better to us than what we deserve. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your compassion. There's not a person here in this room who doesn't deserve God's judgment. But Jesus makes it possible so that we can be sons and daughters of God, with sins forgiven and names written forever sealed in the Lamb's book of heaven. And we're thankful for that. Help us to walk in humility, Lord, not in pride, as your children, as we walk this earth. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.